I always picture Donna in a tutu on a high wire for some reason.
Well, I guess we're done for today, folks.
With her little pink leotards.
Okay, there you go.
Might as well throw a little tiara on.
And a little fluffy umbrella, or ruffly umbrella.
There you go. Just kind of.
Yeah. So when somebody says something about security, I just start laughing.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
This is Laurie with Gastro Associates in Gainesville, Georgia, and you're listening to Help Me with HIPAA podcast.
Thank you for that intro. I am David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT. And joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David.
So, it's September. We're having kickoff time.
Yippee-yay-yay-ky-yo.
not with the pigskin, but we're doing it. We're doing a kickoff of the National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So it starts as this gets published. It's going to start next week. And we have an action plan for the entire month.
That's right. We're going to tell you every week what you need to do to prepare for the next week and mm-hmm. what the topic is, because we assumed everybody would be too busy to be prepared like us. So yep. We're looking at it. And then going to figure it out and tell you what resources are out there and the kinds of things that you can do next week.
Right. So this is the official entering into Q4 of 2020. So, there shouldn't be too many C-suite people that can't attend this stuff, because right now, and everybody's looking at each other going, what's our Q4 plans? And people are like, I don't know, stay in business.
We shredded those.
Yeah. Survive is our Q4 plan. I mean, I don't know. It's like, man, 2020 just completely went out the window. Like single thing we had on the table, nothing.
It was cute. The plans were cute. That's what I say. The plans are just really cute.
I mean, not even... Not even the big plans didn't get done, but not even the small ones, like nothing got done.
Yeah. I'm glad that one of our plans fit in 2020 perfectly. So I feel positive about that, but that's it.
Yep. All right. So we're going to hear a word from our sponsors, and then we're going to dive into our HIPAA Say What segment, and then get into the content. Got a lot to talk about. Ready?
Yeah.
All right, here's a word from our sponsor. Does your business work with medical practices? As a medical practice business associate, do you realize that if you have access to patient information, you have to follow the same HIPAA rules as your client? Call Cardin today at 678-292-5001 so they can assess your privacy and security practices to help ensure you are protected and prepared. Visit cardinhq.com to learn more.
Two-thirds of small businesses that experience a cybersecurity breach end up closing their doors within 6 months. Cybercriminals are targeting your practice and coming after your most sensitive data. Visit us online and schedule a time to talk about what you can do to protect yourself, your patients, and your practice. Our website is securityfirstit.com. That's securityfirstit.com.
All right, we're back. It's time for our HIPAA
Say What
segment. All right, so summer edition of OCR Cybersecurity Newsletter came out recently, and it's the summer 2020 newsletter. And you know what? If you're not signed up for that, should be good stuff in there.
Oh yeah, they always have some little nugget in there, and they do 3 or 4 a year. But there's a lot of reasons to be on that list. You get all kinds of notifications from them. Mm-hmm. And I'll have a link to the newsletter, and it gives you a link to sign up for the list there on the bottom. So, but the summer 2020, I'm like, wow, that's bold. And what are you going to include? But I think it, it, you know, often these newsletters will reiterate things that other things that we've seen from them.
Yeah, which is kind of like, hey, pay attention.
Yeah. we meant this. And they, in this one, it was why you need an IT asset inventory. And it makes me go back to, what was it? The last two that we were like, oh, these are so specific. It's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. The first one of those, I don't remember which one's which, but it mentions taking a complete inventory of everything.
Right.
And making sure you do it. And then we see this newsletter coming out.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, when they see things that are problems, this is how they get the word out. These are issues we're seeing, and these are ways that you can solve those issues. Listen to the podcast. Donna and David are telling you what to do.
Yeah. But they did in the opening of it. You can read between the lines. You can read between the lines. You know, we always do.
I can slap read the lines and still get it.
Yeah. But to me, the sentence that jumped out is OCR investigations frequently find that organizations lack sufficient understanding of where all of the EPHI entrusted to their care is located.
And a news alert, OCR investigations aren't the only ones that frequently find that. I also frequently find that.
And it's better for you to find it or me to find it than them to find it.
Yeah, the right? cool thing about it is all I have to do is just ask, do you know where your EPHI is? And they usually look at me like, huh?
Yeah. Well, we try to narrow it down. Instead of saying your IT asset inventory, we say, where's your PHI? Where's your data? How does it come in? How does it go out? How does it move around? That kind of stuff. What devices do you own and have connected to your network, and what software do you use? But an IT asset inventory is what all three of those require. I mean, they're required in a complete inventory. You need all three.
Right.
But, you know, we make an effort to not use terms like IT asset inventory.
And let me tell you why. So this is where we discuss this in every boot camp. But there are terms that people use that are very different meanings in different sectors. So when somebody comes out and says, I need an asset inventory or even an IT asset inventory, that means something very different in healthcare than it does to an IT person. Because as an IT person, if you tell me you need an IT asset inventory, I'm going to give you an inventory of the hardware, typically that's only under my management, and also potentially asset inventory of the software that is on that hardware that is under my management. And that's it. That's it. That's all you're getting. So understand that if you go to your MSP or your IT company and you say, I need an IT asset inventory, you're not getting the same thing we're talking about here. You're getting part of that.
Right. And that's what we often are up against when we ask for these things is that's what we get is this is what IT told us. And, you know, and then we have to go through the process of saying, okay, that's we need more because there are more things. But one of the things, which is why this fell under HIPAA, say what, is they point out that no, HIPAA doesn't specifically say you need to have an IT asset inventory. But HIPAA does specifically say that you need to have a risk analysis. Mm-hmm. And in order to do a proper risk analysis, one must have a complete IT asset inventory. And that is the big point of, no, it doesn't say that, but if you don't have that, you can't do the thing that it does say.
Mm-hmm.
And they give some very specific examples. They take you through what the comprehensive list includes assets and the details of what the inventory should show, like the vendor, the asset type, the version, and the assignment, where it goes. And often people will say, I don't know where that is. So how do you know it's not like in China and been stolen?
Yeah.
And sold it on eBay. You know,
we have that all the time. Yeah. Have it all the time. We go in and we're like, okay, we're here to fix workstation 01. And then, like, it's not there where it's supposed to be. And we start talking to someone. Like, oh, yeah, we moved offices around. And, you know, it's in the closet now, which, you know, fortunately, we do have a way to see how often systems check in. So we're frequently calling clients and going, hey, this system hadn't been seen for like 7 days. What's up?
Yeah.
You know.
So-and-so's on vacation. All right. That's cool. We're good. Yeah. You know, but I need to know where it is because where did it go?
And unfortunately, we've had a time or two where it's like, laptop, where's it at? And everybody's like, oh, no. Susie had it last. Nuh-uh, Don had it last. Nuh-uh. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I mean, we like tracking IP addresses and everything. And we found it in one of the employees' home closet.
Oh, geez.
I said, I ain't trying to say they stole that, but. You do with it what you want to. I'm just saying.
Yeah, there you go. We tracked where it was last connected. That's all we can do. But the other thing they point out, and then they even give an example, a story that you know, they're using the real world stuff now, like everybody else, because people start to get it better. They bring up that not only do you need to know where all these things are, but you need to know how your data really moves around your network so that you can make sure you know where the EPHI is. But like we point out, it's okay if we track any of your other inventory, you know, your data that is high priority data. Let's include that. And they make a point of bringing that up. That you really need to do it anyway. So where's your accounting data? Where's your business plans or any of the other things that you would consider, you know, more confidential or private or important? And track that as well. And then they pointed out the story from Microsoft, examples of IoT devices used for malicious activities include incidents reported by Microsoft in which malicious actors were able to compromise a VoIP phone, a printer, and video decoder to gain access to corporate networks. So those internet phones, they're devices as well. Yep. And they used an exploit on those devices. So things like the default passwords where we talk about that. We can go look up the password to printers and stuff like that. It's a piece of cake. Unpatched security vulnerabilities on those devices. They compromise those. And once they do, they're on your network. And then they do reconnaissance and they start accessing other things. They use those privileges. They pick up things they can use for social engineering. Once they're in, they're in. That's all they need. And they go target all that high value data. So I think it's great. You know, I'm sorry. We just talked about all those kinds of things with Gary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's amazing how fast OCR grabs our content and repurposes it.
This came out before then.
Oh, well.
But so there's our important HIPAA. Say what? Because HIPAA doesn't say you need an IT asset inventory. But it does say you need a risk analysis, and to do a proper one, you need
an IT asset inventory.
There you go.
Yeah. In the way we describe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the hard part is the data part. You know, it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's easier to find the devices and the software and all that. But finding where that data is, that's not sometimes as easy. And it's even harder to keep it wrangled.
Well, like especially now with everybody working from home and everybody making all of these changes to how we communicate, you know, in 2020. But it's certainly a challenge in more ways than one.
Yeah. You could probably attest to this too, but I can't tell you how many times that I have gone into an environment and I'm like, where's your, do you know where your PHI is? And they're like, yeah, it's only in the EHR platform. And I'm like, are you sure? It better be. And then, you know, it take the very first workstation we pick is like, no, there's PHI all over this thing. And they're like, that is not the way we're supposed to do it. And I'm like, I get that, but that's the way people are doing it. And if this one person is doing it, other people probably are too.
Everybody's doing it that
way. Yeah. Because especially when it's, you hire somebody new and you put them in with that person, you're like, teach them how to do their job. They're going to show them all the bad habits they're doing.
Yeah, that's goes back to our video we do in the boot camp about why you need policies and procedures. That's one of my favorite videos. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's what we have for what we need to do. And there's a link to all of that with the details. And of course, there's been many times that we've mentioned it. So there you have it. Share it with anybody who tells you you don't need to have that, because it is pretty clear. If you do not have that, and when somebody asks for a risk analysis and you get one of those generated reports from a scan, that's why they look at it and say, yeah, you did the easy way, not the real proper way.
This is true. Yeah. And fortunately, I think after 5 years, people are finally starting to catch on to what we've been saying about that.
Yep. Check the box. Check the box.
Yep. So, all right. So let's dive into the Cybersecurity Awareness Month stuff. And
yes.
Let me start out of the gate and say the word cybersecurity always confuses me and my spell checker. Because sometimes it's one word, sometimes it's two words. I mean, even when you look at how the acronym is, it's two words in the acronym. But then when you look at how they spell it in their logo, it's one word. So I don't know. But anyway, we're going to talk about the awareness month of it. And, it's a national thing. We missed the whole September National Insider Threat Awareness Month, but we got it on the calendar next year.
Yeah.
we're not going to miss NCSAM. This year.
Oh, yeah. NCSAM. Yes, this year's theme is do your part, be cyber smart. And then if you connect it, protect it. Mm-hmm. Love those. And what was it? July, we did our whole this is coming, plan for it. We haven't planned for it. So figured this was a whole month now. We know what we're going to cover. We're going to cover those topics and give you things that, you can use that are published and some ideas about how to promote cybersecurity awareness. And we're going to be pushing all those out on social media as well. And the first 2 days of October, it's not a whole week. It's kind of just like they're the orphan days, and then there's four full weeks. So they're doing the 2-day kickoff. Whee!
Yay! You know what that means? Pizza and beer for the office.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we should do. So next week, if you're listening, like all of our loyal listeners listen Friday, Saturday, Sunday, one of those days, but before next week, if you're listening today, jump up and do some stuff, because if it's October already, you got some stuff to do. But the idea is you do a kickoff. You introduce the concept of, the be cyber smart and connect it, protect it. And you build up the fact that we're about to go through 4 different weeks of discussions about cybersecurity awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And they include things, do this in your community, do this at home, do it at work, your work groups on social media, all kinds of things. There are ways that you can use these tools, and they even give you the details about how to do it. So I was pleased. When you sign up as a champion, which if you haven't done that, definitely run go do it, because you get a whole kit to be a cybersecurity champion, and it gives you all the things you need so that you can these resources, and it makes it pretty straightforward. But I love the fact that they go out of their way and they have a guide that it helps you create the written content to help raise awareness. And they tell you there's a variety of tips. One, what is the impact of cybersecurity on companies and empowering your people, raising awareness. It gets into simplicity and all of these other things. But the points that they make are, you know, you don't want to threaten people and make it fear-based. And that's what so many people do. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever I see somebody's HIPAA presentation and it's all about the fines and penalties, and they're not even referencing the actual what the fines and penalties would be today, they're just talking about, you know, what they've always talked about is this scary, horrible thing that mm-hmm. you're going to be penalized. And I start off with, okay, that's not your concern. Statistically unlikely, unless you're really, really bad and you have a really bad breach.
Right.
So,
yeah. I think when you come at people with that, though, it's like you also kind of invoke the fight or flight.
Right.
You know, and most people aren't going to fight. And so that's why I believe they run away from the obligations here.
Yeah.
You know, they get scared to death. And it's like, I don't know. I'm not comfortable doing things because it's kind of foreign to me. You know, you start talking about cybersecurity and some people are like, I'm doing good just to get on the internet. And you're right. Telling me I got to protect myself from, you know, these people. And so they run away from it. They don't, you know, you have a few people that it's like, yeah, man, let's fight them. Let's do it. But most people are like, stay away from that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to turn it on. It either works or it doesn't. That's the extent mm-hmm. of their concern. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to try to make it work a couple of times, and then I'm going to kick it and punch it and whatever else, throw it across the room.
I'm going to call IT and tell them to turn all that security off. It's blocking me.
That's right. That whole security's not convenient.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's
we say it.
Good little side note here. So I'm talking to a vendor that's trying to get me to buy their email encryption stuff. And big vendor, big well-known vendor. Mm-hmm. And so just the salesperson is like, well, you just need to bundle it with all your stuff. You don't give people the option of whether they have all this high level security. You just make them have it. And I said, that sounds great in a salesperson world. But in the real world where I live, you can't just throw security at people. There's a very fine balancing act. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess there is.
Yeah. That's why I'm very bad at sales. I tell the truth.
It's like, yeah, I'd love to be able to throw the security out on every client, but you can't do that because then you get things like I've got right now with, you know, Krista sending me messages this morning. Like, do you have anything that doesn't or that can scan a PDF for PHI? Because we have a client that their encryption is turning every PDF document to an encrypted email. And it's making the doctors mad because every single email that has a PDF in it is encrypted. And it doesn't need to be.
Right.
And so now we've introduced a level of complexity that it doesn't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So now we've got to solve for that.
Hence your discussions. So I like the fact that that is the approach of understanding we can't do that. We can't make people's, it's the three rules of security.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not convenient, it's not optional, but it shouldn't make it hard to do your job. There's got to be a balance. And you're right, that's that key little balancing act, because balancing a triangle on a perfect center point is not easy.
I always picture Donna in a tutu on a high wire for some reason.
Well, I guess we're done for today, folks.
With their little pink leotards.
Okay, there you go.
Might as well throw a little tiara on.
And a little fluffy umbrella, or ruffly umbrella.
There you go. Just kind of.
Yeah. So when somebody says something about security, I just start laughing.
I can't even. I got nothing.
Just, you know, dear listener, just for a second, just close your eyes and picture.
No. I don't even want to do that. So.
Okay. Alex, Alex, Mr. Pasta Moose Man.
No.
there's your next assignment. Jeez. Donna in a tutu on iWire.
Okay, we just went off the rails. So they also say don't paint scenes. Don't paint scenes like cyber criminals waiting at every online intersection ready to steal social security numbers. See, look how we segued right on back after painting a horrible scene. But I don't know. Is that scary enough? I mean, that was a scary one. Just if the tightrope's laying on the ground, maybe. Be all right. I don't like the fact that I'm afraid of heights, but let's just throw that in there. But the point is, you know, trying to get people all this, oh, they're out there everywhere, they're out there everywhere, around every corner. They're absolutely right. If you try to make it look like that, and all of those, you know, the pictures where you've got the hoodie person with no face coming after you, mm-hmm. or the, you know, the anonymous, whatever, I forget, the V for Vendetta face. And so it's making all of that very scary. And yeah. Promote practical, empowering steps people can take. Those are the three rules of what they're trying to get you to do. Is yep. Make it simple. There's a whole section on simplicity in there. Download that. It's a handy guide for just anybody that's responsible for security awareness or wants to do more with security awareness in their organization, because it talks about here's the messages that work and the ones that don't work. And mm-hmm. So the I love when they explain their themes in this guide. The theme empowers individuals and organizations to own their role in protecting their part of cyberspace. With a particular emphasis on this year's key message, if you connect it, protect it. If everyone does their part, implementing stronger security practices, raising community awareness, educating vulnerable audience, hello, and training their employees, our interconnected world will be safer and more resilient for everyone.
Wow.
You know, that is the least scary cybersecurity awareness statement I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for your 2 days, they give you, here are some facts and figures that you can use in your announcement. Here's some story ideas that you can use for blog posts. And they even have DHS built videos for this month that is kind of a tongue-in-cheek campaign with all these videos about different topics. And it's really, really cool. Like passwords and phishing and data protection and all these kind of things. And then there is a section on tips and advice for employee handbooks or lunch and learns. I think they say brown bag it something. I don't know.
Brown bag. I know. That means something very different in my neck of the woods.
Right? Mad Dog 2020.
That's a high dollar stuff right there.
I know, right? So if you gather some of this information, if you haven't already, it's very handy and available. You could throw together, you know, something pretty simple. And you mm-hmm. just go out to the website. We're giving you the links. Everything's there. You can kind of assemble whatever you need to have, but do a 2-day introduction. Even if all you do is go to the Cybersecurity Awareness Month about page, which I did put a link in it, and you just copy and paste that into an email, go for it. But mm-hmm. at least you're introducing the concept. And if you do nothing else, but each week grab our podcast and we're going to have links in there, and you pick something out of all the links that we give you, or you listen to us and you have some ideas, then whatever is there, good luck with figuring out something that works, that's reasonable and appropriate in your environment. Because they do make a point of saying, do what's reasonable and appropriate in your environment.
Right. Yeah. And if you happen to miss the boat, you can have your own Cybersecurity Awareness Month. It doesn't have to be October. So don't think that, you know, if you missed it, you know, it's middle of October or maybe it's November or December before you get around to this, mm-hmm. make it happen anyway.
Well, yeah. If you miss October, then what you can do is pick a month that works best for you and then build a plan using these tools. Because there really is a lot of information. It's built professionally. It's freely available. And it gives the information that we want people to have. And I still believe that if we can teach people to do more about their security at home, they're going mm-hmm. to do the things we need them to do at work. And yeah. this has a lot of stuff about securing your home as well. And mm-hmm. remember that week 3 is specifically about healthcare. So what you could do is announce somewhere that is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, send out some stuff, and then plan the healthcare week to be the one week you do a lot of things. But use this, pick something, even if you just pick the healthcare week and do it in February. You're using mm-hmm. tools that are freely available, and it's well-built stuff.
And it's worth reminding everyone, this is documented cybersecurity awareness training.
Yes. Keep it. Put it in your documentation. Yeah, I can't believe we have to remind people, but I even have to remind myself. So you're right. You're right. Document everything that you're sending out. Keep it in your training documentation to show that, you know, you think that OCR might be interested in knowing that you celebrate National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Do you think that, David?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think that they would say, huh, people are taking this seriously.
Exactly.
You know, and they made that clear. We're looking to know that leadership takes this seriously.
Yep. And so, I mean, you figure with the September Insider Threat Month is happening. You got the Cybersecurity Awareness Month in October. So, I mean, you've got 2 full months of information and data coming at you with all types of pre-made content right. already.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if you took that and said, I'm just going to do one piece of it a month, you've already got 8 to 9 months worth of material.
If not more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's so many different approaches that you can take, whether it's the guidebooks that have the tips and things that you can put in the employee handbook mm-hmm. or the video series. And that goofy video series is kind of fun. But if you take the time to evaluate just here, oh, let me look at all my free stuff and pick stuff to use. That's really yep. what we're telling you need the time for.
Yeah, and also leverage some of your vendors, because I know for me, mm-hmm. oh man, I don't know, maybe almost every vendor, not everyone, but I would say at least 80% of my vendors are creating content and I can use that.
Right, right.
You know, I don't have to come up with my own stuff. So leverage your vendors, especially if you have an IT vendor or an MSP, ask them, do you have any content that I can use? Some of it may be no cost, some of it may have a cost to it, depends on what it is. But there's tons of stuff out there. You don't have to try to create your own.
Or even better, ask your IT vendor if they are using the stuff from National Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
You're going to get people in trouble.
No. Even when they say, you know, I didn't know there was a National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. I can't ding them too bad on that. But I do love when I have speaking engagements in October and I say, thanks for having me for National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And everybody goes, what? Crickets. They don't. Chirp, chirp.
Well, you are more merciful than I am, because I will ding them. if you're in IT, especially today.
Yeah.
I mean, you should know about this. There's little excuse in my book. It's yeah. to me, it's a barometer. Like, it's like, okay, your IT guy's talking about how cybersecurity this, cybersecurity that, and we can protect you this, that, and the other. This is a perfect example of how if they don't have their finger on the pulse of what's going on, if they don't know about this, there's a good sign. They're not paying attention, because this stuff is pushed out everywhere.
Yeah.
And so for them to miss this means they are not paying attention to what's happening.
Well, there's David preaching it. But, but, you know, another thing is we get out there and look for the free resources. We're looking for what we can do to do more with less. You know, mm-hmm. because even with our training programs, we talk about how can I access freely available information. And we are, as you know, we're rolling out a whole new training portal. And David knows, but we haven't talked about it much. But Cardin's rolling out a whole new training portal. We're working out our plan to go, and it's going to have some free stuff in there. And what we're going to do is give people all of those free little things that we're aware of that you can get to with, mm-hmm. you know, little or no effort and be able to access those tools freely available for any business. You know, they have a yep. whole section for small business security in the CISA websites. There's a ton right. of stuff. So we're going to include all of that in our free stuff because why not? I'm just going to be a central resource for mm-hmm. those kinds of tools for small business.
Well, the two complaints we always get with whether it's HIPAA or cybersecurity or, you know, security awareness, whatever, the complaint we always get is twofold. Mm-hmm. I don't have the resources or I don't have the time. Mm-hmm. So we're saving you time. Mm-hmm. It's going to still cost you some time, but saving you time. And there's no, all the resources are here. You're not having to spend your own resources.
Right. Time so, is your cost. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, we're removing 90% of the objection here. I say we, you know, every organization that puts out content like this.
Yeah.
They're giving you no excuse, which is why I think OCR looks at you and goes, no excuse.
Yeah. I mean, they're serious about it. When you do the, you know, you have one 45-minute video everybody watches and you go, poof.
Yeah. A year.
There's HIPAA training. And we've talked about that many a time. You know, mm-hmm. I use that in so many training classes about, you teach the teenager to make the bed in January and you say, I want you to do this every single day until next January. And then I'm going to teach you again. And, well, I don't have to ask too far. David, you had 5 teenage boys you've had in your house.
Mm-hmm.
How would that go?
I stopped asking them to make the bed.
Even like, when you showed them how.
At this point, it's just like, you know, just vacuum once a year and rinse the sink out sometime. Yeah. You know,
are the ones in the military at least making their bed now?
Dude, that is the most satisfying thing. When you go to the basic training graduation and their bed is just immaculate. And listen to this now. I took my first son when he graduated because they weren't far apart from graduation, mm-hmm. but there was like a piece of lint or something that was on my shirt, and I pulled it off my shirt. I hovered it over his bed, and he freaked out. Don't put it on my bed. I'll get in so much trouble. And I was like, that's awesome.
There you go.
Yeah. Of course, they don't, you know, they're not that strict after basic, yeah. but still, they learn things matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we're talking about. You know, David would have to do it every single day like the military did.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have time for that. He didn't have the mm-hmm. resources for that. He was spread thin.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. So I sent him to the military.
There you go. So we're looking for something in between. That's all we're asking for. Something in between. All right, that's it for today, folks. We're going to give you time to go run, make your Cybersecurity Awareness Month plans. You're
yep.
here.
So make sure you head over to the website. Lots of links to things there. So go over there and get all that stuff. And you have no excuse. Make it happen. I almost sound like Bo, didn't I?
You have no excuse.
All right. He hates it when you do that. So there you go. Let's get her going.
All right, folks, that is our show for today. Thanks for listening, and make sure that you share it out. because we need all the help we can get sharing out the content. And so remember, for Donna and myself, that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.